Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I have a little treat for you today. We're going to go back to the 1960s. Remember the 1960s? Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Away. How many of you remember that? Four or five of you. Okay. Well, I'm glad I introduced you to this. I used to sing in a Christian folk group when we would do this. And I always sang it. But Pastor Dave Carrot was the leader of the group. So instead of going, he washed my sins away, he washed away my sins. He would get so mad. He said, it doesn't fit with the rhyme. I said, yeah, I know, but it makes more sense that way. But that's, you know, just some of the fun we have. But oh, happy day. Today is our happy day. Why? Because he washed away our sins. Now let me tell you a little bit about this. Oh, happy day is a 1967 gospel music arrangement of an 18th century hymn. So 18th century would be 1700s. How about that? That's from the 1700s. It was written by clergyman Philip Doddridge. Now, Edward Hawkins and the Edward Hawkins sinners sang it, sang it in 1967, and it became an international hit in 1969. And it reached number 4 on the U.S. singles chart, number 1 in France, Germany, and the Netherlands, and number 2 on the Canadian singles, UK chart, and Irish singles chart. Alright, so 5 plus happy days written about baptism. Well, what does baptism mean? Oh, there goes the pastor trying to give the final word again. Alright, of course, I went back to the Oxford Dictionary. Here's what it says.
Baptism.
Huh?
Baptism.
That's right. In the Christian church, it's the religious rite of sprinkling water onto a person's forehead or of immersion in water, symbolizing purification or regeneration and admission to the Christian church. In many denominations, baptism is performed on young children and is accompanied by a Christian name giving. Now here's where we start getting interested. It's also a ceremony or occasion in which baptism takes place. I always love it when a dictionary uses the word to define the word. Doesn't that really help? A person's initiation into a particular activity or role, typically one perceived as difficult. Baptism of fire. We talk about that with soldiers, right? That's where that could come in. All right, now, what we are looking at in this word, it comes from the old French word baptisme, but before that, it's the ecclesiastical Latin from the ecclesiastical Greek, baptismos. Baptismos we usually translate as immersion, but it doesn't mean that. It means a ceremonial washing in Greek. I went and looked up Strong's on that, and I was surprised because I always thought it just meant immersion. Ceremonial washing. You know, so it takes a little bit of difference on that. Alright, ceremonial washing. I know from history that the Jewish people had to do a ceremonial washing in a pool before they could enter the temple. I mean, we found these around the temple in Jerusalem. You walk down a set of steps, you got a pool in there, you got in there, and you wash your clothes, you wash yourself, then you went to the temple. So being clean is an important part of the Jewish religion. Now, we're talking today, it was funny in our readings, because we have the creation of the world in Genesis, the psalm is good, and the epistle, deals with our release from sin. But yet the gospel talks more about John the Baptist and his baptism than it does about Jesus, doesn't it? So, what's the difference between John's baptism and Jesus? Now, it says on John's baptism, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that what our regular baptism does too? Okay, we're sinners, we have to have our sins forgiven. If you've ever heard the interplay when Pastor Don comes up for give me communion, he always say from one sinner to another. Folks, we're all sinners. And I think I've shared with some of you, I actually lost a call to a church because I called myself the CSIC, Chief Sinner in Charge. Folks, none of us can escape the burden of sin. So we need that forgiveness. All right, so why isn't John's baptism enough? Well, in Matthew 3:11, Matthew says this, Jesus' baptism, however, made people followers of Christ. John's didn't. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, Jesus never baptized. In English, it sounds like, well, he remained with them and he baptized, right? You go back to the original Greek. See, Greek is interesting because there's 19 endings on nouns, 27 endings on verbs. And you can be specific in Greek where you can in English. And so when you go back and read the Greek from Matthew, the word baptized goes with the ending of the disciples, not with the ending. Jesus. That's how we know that he's talking about the disciples. one of the things I love about the Bible is the Bible will explain itself, but you got to jump to different places to find it. Okay? So let's look at how the Bible explains it. All right? After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. This is continuing that reading in Matthew. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison, and there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. All right, so what does that mean? Well, we know that John is for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's what his baptism is for. The Jewish washing was for purification, to make one pure before you go to the temple. So why isn't John's set up that way too? Good question, isn't it? All right, let's continue with this. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified? Behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. Well, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Think about that a second. So, for baptism to really be effective, it has to come not from John, but from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him to make the rough places plain and the road straight. Remember, we have that from Isaiah. He who has the bride, turn page, is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He's just talking about himself. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, actually, this is a continuation of the argument in Matthew, isn't it? It's from John 3, 22 to 30. But remember I said you've got to jump around the Bible a little bit to sort of follow it. Now let's go to John 4. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. So, these people that had been baptized by John were baptized again. But yet in the Creed, don't we say one baptism for the forgiveness of sin? Right? Isn't that a second baptism? We'll talk about that and think about that a second while I'm talking. Much later, Paul runs across 12 men who have been baptized by John, but not into Jesus' baptism. All right, so now Paul is going to explain why. And this is from Acts 19. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Here we come. So they said to him, "Well, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance." All right, is he making it wrong? No. But what he's doing is talking about what it was for. So, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So are there two baptisms? No, there's one. One baptism for the forgiveness of sin. Not for repentance, forgiveness of sin. Because what happens at the baptism of Jesus? The Holy Spirit enters our hearts. Now, it's just like anything else. If we put seed out here on our rock, would it grow? Dumb baby. You know, if we come in there with one of the parables of Jesus, you know, the seed falls on the rocks, does it grow? No. Okay? Does it fall on the dirt? Yeah, but if you're not nurturing it, you don't put water on it and something to make it grow, is it going to grow? No. But then the day that happens and it begins to grow. And that's the Holy Spirit in us. Because we have to nurture that Holy Spirit. And when we start to nurture the Holy Spirit, we listen to it, we help it to grow in us, and it gives us that gift of faith. So John's baptism did not automatically forgive sins, but the baptism of Jesus did it. This is the power of baptism. You see why it's so important? You see why we recognize really two sacraments in the Lutheran Church is the power of baptism and the power of the Lord's Supper. Of course, then we have that half one, which is the office of keys and confession, because preaching, they've said that what I'm doing right now, the Word of God is flowing through me, so this, as I speak, the air could be taken as one of the sacraments. That's one of the things, me doing a sacrament, come on, you're great. But we know from the Bible there's three ways that we can be baptized. What are they? Word, water, and fire. All right, what does that mean? Well, the Word of God can actually baptize. When you hear that, the Holy Spirit says, believe. And you believe. You let the Holy Spirit enter your heart. What about fire? If you weren't baptized, but you died on the cross for Jesus, don't you think you earned a place in heaven? You know, I've had people argue with me, "I didn't go through water baptism." I don't think he had to. You think Jesus is going to turn them down? I don't think so. All right, so we know we have water, fire, and the Word. You know, now one of the things in here I've mentioned a lot is the didache. Didache is a fancy word in Greek that means the teachings. We know that book existed because we see references in the early church fathers all the time. So the apostles around 70 AD got together, put together a book. In fact, I downloaded it, and what I might just do is send it out to you through the prayer warrior so you can actually see the first part of that, which deals with what the apostles thought were important. You know, one of the things we do as a church is we don't go into the following councils and meetings of the church, because some of our brothers and sisters in Christ say that those meetings are more important than the Bible. We don't think so. We think the Bible's first. But there are some meetings that I think are really important, and those are the ones that the apostles did. If you look at Acts 15, the first Jerusalem Council, where they get together and argue about what it means to be a Christian, I think that's sort of important to read. Because that's where the church began, right then, AD 49 to 50.